From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Fire Away Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. We'll get started, take some subscriber questions, take any questions that we see from the live chat as well as we get going this morning here to close out the work week. It is raining. It is wet here in the Oxford area. I'm looking out the window, but the show must go on, so we'll get after it here in a second. First, to you about the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. A few more days, free gas, 4-A-Year sweepstakes going on through Halloween through October 31st. So take advantage of that. All you have to do is get one of those Mobile Rewards Plus cards I've been telling you about for a really long time. Then every time you get 8 gallons of gas or more to fill up, automatically entered into your chance to win free gas for a year with the Oxford Exxon ribs, lunch specials, daiquiris, all that kind of stuff. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You know the routine. You get your quote. And the rest is up to you. You can shop it around, or you can let Corey and the people there at Clark Ford take care of you. They'll get you in a Ford product that you'll love. You'll absolutely love the service after the sale. Corey and the people there want to be your truck guy. They want to be your car guy. They'll prove it to you. 662-257-1900.
A bye week for the Ole Miss Rebels. So take advantage of your weekend, whatever that that entails. Ole Miss and Auburn next Saturday. I didn't realize, Neil, I guess we'll talk to JG next week. We'll probably talk a little Auburn LSU since that game's going on Saturday. I had no idea that Auburn had not won in Death Valley since 1999. Tuberville's first year, the last time Auburn has won in Death Valley.
Yeah, I was on the beat. I remember the game.
That was a Sakar game against, frankly, a bad LSU team.
I remember the game, that week, all of that, pretty vividly, actually. Because we covered that game. It was Tuberville's first year at Auburn. Ole Miss, they wanted me to go to Oxford as soon as the game was over and to do a big Tommy Tuberville coming back to Oxford story.
That was the next week?
Yep.
Okay.
So Ole Miss played Vanderbilt in what was then the Jefferson Pilot game and lost. Vanderbilt beat Ole Miss. And I was like, oh, well, no one's going to want to talk up there. And Oxford on a Sunday in 1999.
Pretty sleepy.
Was different than Oxford on a Sunday today.
Well, you know, Oxford today on a Sunday is even different than 8 years ago.
Sure.
I mean, you know, alcohol changes not too terribly long ago, all those sort of things.
There was no Funkies to go into in 99 on a Sunday.
No Sunday ticket where you're going to run into some folks.
So I covered LSU and Auburn. Auburn won. And I got in the car, and if I remember, I drove to Jackson, spent the night, got up early the next morning, and got to Oxford and just thought, what am I going to do? Like, they want me to have this color, and I'm like, there is no color. But I walked around. I actually found some people and got some
Your best bet would have been on a Sunday night, find a couple of the restaurants and just sit around them that might have been open on a Sunday night.
Yeah, I don't even think I went to a restaurant. I might have gone into maybe a McAllister's or something. I went into some place and I found a couple of people. I walked around on campus and I found a couple of people. I got enough.
You're just asking Tuberville questions.
Yes. I got enough. And then I went over to the Monday football thing and got what I needed from there, and then I drove.
What do you do there? Ask the players about him?
I asked players. Yeah. I don't think Langston Rogers was particularly happy to
have
me there.
Overly happy with you that day.
No, I don't think he was. Anyway, I asked some players questions, and then I drove to I guess I went all the way to Auburn because Auburn's big media day was Tuesday. I got to Auburn on Monday night, and then I did all that stuff Tuesday and Wednesday. So I was gone for a full week. I remember that. So
Yeah, 41-7 or something was that final score, but that is the cigar curse is what Auburn people call it after they did the whole cigar thing on the field. They haven't won over there since. LSU ran some streaks up against some folks because Auburn hasn't won. You know, State's always gotten killed over there since basically the early 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of teams that just do not win in Baton Rouge, which is even more kind of the funny part of – I was talking to a couple of media members about this on Tuesday or Wednesday, and I mean, Ole Miss would have to have a lot of help to be competitive against LSU in a few weeks, but – said, hey, you know, they always play whatever. I said, well, they play better in Baton Rouge than they do Oxford, though, for whatever reason. Ole Miss gets more geeked for LSU down there than they do here a lot of times. And I don't know reasons. I don't know anything else. But I'm always a little more apt to pick upsets or pick weird games when they're in Death Valley versus Oxford in that series. So, anyway, just a little thought there. That was the game where Damon Duvall scored the touchdown on the fake field goal. Kind of threw it over the holder's shoulder.
If I remember correctly, that took it from 3-0 to 10-0, and it just blew the game wide open for whatever reason. LSU was a very fragile team.
Well, they went 3-8 and 1-7 in the SEC.
Yeah, so the next week, Auburn played Ole Miss at Auburn and lost, if I remember right, in overtime. And Ben Leard broke his collarbone, maybe, the quarterback, or separated his shoulder, one or the other, and he didn't play. And they had a kid named Jeff Klein who came in and replaced Ben Leard. And Jeff was kind of a free spirit sort of a kid.
Mm-hmm.
He and Tommy Tuberville probably not much eye to eye.
Not on the same wavelength.
Let's put it this way. Tommy Tuberville's probably about to become a United States Senator as a Republican. And this is not about politics. I would venture to guess that Jeff was not the most Republican person around. And they probably didn't see eye to eye on much of anything. And they went to Tennessee, and I don't remember the score. I just remember it being ugly. Got popped. And Tommy was in a really bad mood about losing to Ole Miss. Really bad mood. And he, after losing to Ole Miss, went into the press conference too quickly and popped off about the Ole Miss fans. And I wrote a column that was just basically, come on. You got to be smarter than that. And he got super pissed at me the next week. He was really mad for a long time. He held that one against me for a good year.
A year?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he was mad. He was legitimately pissed.
We get a Tuberville question here in a little bit about that. He's going to win, isn't he?
I think so.
So he beat Roy Moore or what? How does this work? Or is Roy Moore the other one? What's the deal? What is his situation?
I'm not really sure. Everyone tells me that he's going to win.
Chat box, YouTube, anybody? Who's Tuberville got to beat? What's going on? Would you vote for Tommy Tuberville for Senate?
Would I?
Yeah, would you?
Yeah.
I mean, you know him. I've met him a few times. I don't personally know him, really.
Yeah, I know him pretty well. Yeah, I'd vote for Tommy. I like Tommy. He's not perfect, but who is? Smart guy. Real smart business sense. Yeah, I'd vote for Tommy. Sure.
The only thing I found funny was, let me rephrase. Had a conversation with Tuberville prior to the, what year would this have been? What?
I laugh at it. Okay. So that on Twitter.
This would have been 2000, we'll say 7. If you said 6, okay, fine. It was an Orgeron Auburn Tuberville game.
Okay.
And on the field before the game, and Tuberville walks over, hey, what's up? How are you? Whatever. And said something about the game or whatever. And Tommy goes, yeah, just, he goes, it's the day where you probably take Ole Miss in the points. I was like, what are you talking about? This is like an hour and 10 minutes before the game.
Really?
And he's like, yeah, just trying to get out of here today. Just trying to get out of here. And Auburn won like 17-7 or something, just slogged through one. And sure enough, it was just a, get a lead, hold it, and move on with your day. But I thought, well, had an hour and 10 minutes head start there to get on that one. So a little insider trading. But, yeah, I don't remember the exact score, but it was a bit of a slog that day. And the line was probably pretty high.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Well, you weren't here.
Yeah.
You would not have been sent to Ole Miss Auburn in 07, I wouldn't think.
No.
That would not be something that would be on your
That was my last season. At the Mobile Register. I didn't know it at the time.
Who are you covering in 07?
A lot of Saints. By that point, we were trying to really fix the schedule around what would make it convenient to get to the Saints game on Sunday.
Oh, wait, really?
So I covered a little bit of everything.
Because that would have been the second year of Peyton and Breeze?
Seems like,
second. Second, yeah. That's right.
Went to the playoffs. I think. Yeah. I don't know.
The year after the Chicago thing.
Maybe so. Yeah, I really struck.
All right, jump into some questions. We're just kind of rambling. That's what happens on Fridays. What's going on with Matthew Morrell?
Well, let's see. How do I do this somewhat diplomatically? Matthew Morrell. No decision's been made. Depends on who you listen to. Depends on who he listens to. And I think it's going to somewhat depend on whether or not he gets his way.
A little combat in situation?
A little bit. Ole Miss is in it. Depending on who you talk to, Texas is in it or not in it. And I believe Auburn is in it.
Timeline?
At some point he'll sign.
Thanks.
That's it. I mean, I don't know. I do not know of a specific date. I guess it is conceivable but not likely that they could punt and do this in the spring. Doesn't feel like that. Feels like they'll do something here in the first couple of weeks of November. But it's your typical top 50 player recruiting.
Okay. Second part of his question, Chase, should the Saints take a hard look at drafting Joe Burrow? Take a look? Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if he's still around at that point. Saints are going to be a pick in the 20s.
No, he'll be gone.
I'm not willing to mortgage a future over it, but hey, I need to know a little more. I said yesterday, I need to know a little more about Breeze. I need a little more about Teddy Two Gloves at this point. Like, let's see what's going on. I can't believe I'm saying this because it's been such a turnaround. As I said, I'm not overly against potentially making Bridgewater the next quarterback. I'm okay. Not all the way there because I had such a long way to go, but that I'm even having the conversation is significant at this point, I feel like. Because, look, there's a lot of unknown when you're going to a next quarterback, going to a quarterback period in the NFL. It's the hardest job on the planet.
Yes.
Sports-wise, everything's harder. But there are only so many of them. Only so many of them.
Yeah.
There are 15 or fewer people that can do it well in the world.
Burrow will be gone. Tua will be gone. Herbert will be gone. His stock has jumped back up.
But I'm good.
Yeah.
Question off our chat that kind of goes with this, too. Is Breeze going to play Sunday? I think so. I think Breeze is playing against the Cardinals on Sunday.
That's what it sounds like.
Reading some tea leaves a little bit. I read a column in The Athletic from Jeff Duncan yesterday where he his quotes were pretty basically he said he needed some action and that when he felt Duncan did make one good point. The thumb is never going to be 100% from a medical standpoint the entire season. So you're really trying to limit pitch count on the chances of re-injuring it, just on hitting it on something or something along those lines. I don't know that there's a whole lot of ways to go from a standpoint of it getting 100% healed. But his quote yesterday, Breeze's, was just trying to make sure I can be me. I'll tell Sean and he'll believe me. That was his quote. So.
Well, I do think the two people...
Sean's going to ask him on Sunday, do you want to play and can you play? And Breeze is going to give him a yes or no answer and that's going to be the end of it.
I do think that the two people have been together this long and have built a relationship to the point that Breeze would be honest. I do think if Breeze... I know he wants to play and would play with broken arms and broken legs, but I think Breeze is honest enough to say to him, hey, I'm ready to go.
They both know the end goal here. It's not to beat the Cardinals on Sunday. So you got to be healthy. Are you ready?
Sure, sure. And if you're not ready.
And Breeze's thought, I think, is, hey, I need some game action. I need to see what's going on. Let's play this week if I'm healthy. I get a bye week, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. He's thinking, I can't wait two more weeks. I'll lose my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you just ask him to move on if you're Sean Payton? What do
Breeze?
You do? Yeah. What do you do?
I mean, I look at him and say, are you ready? Are you ready? Not are you
like
itching,
really ready?
Not are you itching to play, but are you ready to play? And if he says he's ready, then I play him.
Yeah.
And I hold my breath. And
Teddy, appreciate your service.
Tells Teddy to stay around.
Yeah. Keep the headset around.
Stay warm.
Yeah. Just in case. Yeah, because you never know if Drew gets out there, throws a few balls, and goes, not quite. Let's chill for a couple weeks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I make sure that Teddy Bridgewater knows just how appreciative I am of what he's done for my team.
5-0.
And I'm sure he knows by now.
Yeah. All right, question from our compatriot Zach Berry. New dad here. Week 1's been great. Any tips for week 2? Sleep when you can.
Yep. Sleep when you can. That's about it.
And chill out. It's going to be all right.
Oh, yeah.
They're harder to break than you think they are. It's going to be okay.
Tell your wife that $80 outfit that she wants to put on him right now is a complete waste of money.
I'd love to have an idea of how much total money I've spent in smocking in my life. I'd love to know that answer.
Yeah. I don't know. A lot. But you have a boy, so you need to take advantage of it being a boy financially, Zach.
Saddle Oxfords, all the.
He doesn't need all that stuff. You don't need all that stuff.
They don't need anything but the bunch of onesies when they're
young. You need diapers and some onesies, a blanket, those little hat thingies.
Yeah. The little knit cap thing.
Yeah, you need one of those. Socks.
Call it a toque if we were Canadian.
Get a lot of socks, according to Avery. Avery's going sockless right now because her kid forgot socks.
Well, it is raining. I mean, you're just getting the socks wet.
It's true.
Forward thinker, really, in my opinion. That's it. Look, chill. Chill and sleep. That's it. Everybody freaks out too much. That's why everybody goes, when they have a second kid, it's like, yeah, they're alive. It's fine. You calm down a whole lot more. I mean, I don't have one, but you know what I mean? Like,
it's easier. When you get to 3, you go from playing man-to-man to playing zone. I've said before, if we had a do-over,
heck with that.
If we'd had a do-over, we'd have had 4. No doubt. Zero doubt.
Really?
Absolutely. If I had a life do-over, we would have, instead of stopping at Caroline and then deciding again to have a third one, we would have just had a third one and then a fourth one.
Why?
Because I like having them.
Okay. I mean, they got some reversals. You can get at it if you feel the need.
No, it's...
You sure?
No.
I mean,
too old now.
I never know. You're staying healthy, staying fit.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah. All my blood work was good. I'm alive and kicking as of today.
Not that alive and kicking, though.
Not that much, no.
Okay. Just throwing some ideas out.
No, I think Laura would be borderline suicidal if that happened to her. Maybe not even borderline.
That's where our Tuberville question came in. I mean, got a shot of winning, I guess. Says during stump speeches, you think you would talk about overcoming challenges such as having to practice football teams in parking lots? Would Jimmy Sexton be able to move into another state senator midterms so he could get a better office committee appointment? The Texas Tech thing was a bad look.
It was. It was.
It was a really bad look.
It was. I think it tells you how unhappy he was there.
What's your smoked wing recipe? I'm getting asked on the board.
Well, the first thing is you got to get the wings super dry. Got to get all the wetness out of them, the surface. And then you use whatever rub you want. Put a rub together, whatever rub you want to get. I don't like them having too much cumin or whatnot. Like, you can just do some seasoned salt, some pepper.
Don't overpower them with
stuff. Yeah. And then I use an egg. I use the inverted egg. And I don't use a ton of smoke because on a wing, if you use too much smoke, all you taste is smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So you just use a little wood and you, if they're really dry and you give time for the salt and stuff to work its way in, they get tender and then they'll get a little crisp on them. And you cook them until they're dry at about 275.
For how long?
Till they're ready.
Ballpark. I know you don't cook by time. You cook by temperature. But what's just a general idea?
45 minutes to an hour.
At 275.
Yeah. 275-ish. I mean, if it's 280, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Someone says add some cornstarch to the rub. Yeah.
You fine with that too?
Yeah. John's right. You got to make sure you cook it low enough so that it cooks long enough that the fat breaks down. He goes to 200, 220 to 250. You could do that too.
Fine with that too.
Yeah. Sometimes with the big green egg, it's
hard. That's more of a pork temperature.
Well, sometimes it's hard to get the temperature down that much.
Okay.
But, you know.
I know you don't eat it anymore.
We might do some tomorrow for the fun of it.
No, you don't eat it anymore, so I'm going to throw that caveat out there. We can skip that part. But if you're not worried about it, what's your perfect pizza toppings?
Ooh. You'll laugh at me.
No, sure. Go ahead.
I like a very basic sausage and jalapeno pizza.
You are big on jalapenos on your pizza. Yeah. Yeah. I actually knew that about you. I knew that one.
Yeah. I could go that route and be good. I like all those pizzas. I like the arugula and I guess prosciutto pizza at St. Leo. Yeah. It's really good. I like the arugula on it. When it comes to pizza, I'm pretty liberal. The only thing I don't like on them, really.
The burrata and soppressata is my favorite there.
Yeah, it's really good. I don't like mushroom on pizza.
See, that's one of my things. I like mushroom.
But if it's on there, I'm fine.
I'm not ever going to like go get a jar of mushrooms and eat them or anything. But if you're giving me my exact pizza toppings, I want a lot of protein, a lot of meats, and then mushrooms.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe some banana peppers.
I like banana peppers too. Banana peppers on pizza is a good deal.
And somebody says, none of this dipped in ketchup, bull blank, Seth.
No. You don't dip pizza in ketchup, do you?
We've been over this. It's one kind and it's nostalgia, and I do it. And I don't know why. I've done it since a kid, and I still do it. It's if I have a thin crust meat lovers from Pizza Hut. That's all it is. Okay. It's that one thing. But it's what I did as a kid, and I will still do it.
What is the ketchup flavor?
What do you mean?
Oh, is there a specific ketchup?
No, it's just like Heinz tomato ketchup.
Because I listen to...
it's just double the tomato, I guess, but...
I listen to the OKC Dream Team podcast, okay. And Royce Young's on it, and he's a ketchup person. He puts ketchup on everything.
Well, no, I don't do that now. I actually... I'm finished, and I'll have...
And he has some specific ketchup that moves him.
I mean, I don't know if this is hot takey or not. Ketchup is more of a kid's thing, and I think as your palate develops, you eat less ketchup.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I think there's something about ketchup that your palate is not overly developed. You still eat a ton of ketchup on a lot of things.
It's probably true. I don't put ketchup on a hamburger.
I can, and it's fine. I'd rather go just mustard with other condiments.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to let ketchup anywhere near a hot dog.
No. Just mustard.
Mustard and relish. Maybe some onions.
I like mustard. I like onions, some chopped jalapeno.
Again.
And mustard. And I'm good to go.
I'm trying to think what I for sure eat ketchup on. I do eat ketchup or any cocktail sauce with fish, some like fried fish if I was eating like catfish. Hush puppies. You know, I'm not a big French fry person. So that doesn't do much for me. But yeah, no, mustard over ketchup 100% of the time, except for a Pizza Hut, meat lovers, thin crust pizza, and I will dip it in ketchup.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody gives me crap about that, thinks it's sort of weird, and I guess, frankly, it is sort of weird.
But yeah, I mean, it is kind of weird, but we all have our things.
All have our things. Yeah, it's fine. So we'll continue through your questions in a second.
There was a girl that lived across the street from us in Mobile when we first moved there.
Okay.
And she dipped. She was from the coast, Mississippi.
It's French dressing.
Everything.
Yeah, French dressing if it wasn't from the coast.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
I would always say, Allison, that is just bizarre. And she could not understand why I thought that was so bizarre.
The only thing that I use French or Catalina dressing for is that taco salad thing where you take ground beef, baked taco meat, and then put it with like beans and cheese and lettuce. A lot of people do Fritos and then pour French or Catalina dressing over it and mix it up. And it doesn't really taste like a taco salad per se, but it is a very distinctive taste. It's awesome. It's one of my favorite little fast, quick meals. Like I love it. It's really, really
good. I haven't had that since I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And my mom made that all the time when we were kids.
Oh, yeah. It's insane. Yeah. I really like it. We used to make it when we did enchiladas a lot. That'd be like the other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really good. Easy, simple. Get you where you're going. So anyway,
what's your go-to comfort meal? Like cold, wet day, you're hanging out.
Crockpot something is going to be either, it's going to be chili or like a homemade creamy chicken noodle soup with like cornbread.
Yeah.
I want creamy chicken noodle soup, chili, crock pot bowl kind of stuff. Yeah, that's my thing.
Gotcha.
If I'm sick or it's cold outside or that sort of deal. Yeah. You have one in your head, obviously.
You said enchiladas, and like for me, that's
Mexican savory kind of stuff.
And I do like French onion soup.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll continue this conversation that I'm sure is very riveting and is going to get you through the rest of your work day. But first, I'll tell you about MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape in Wonker throughout northern Mississippi, but a lot more. Also, including custom playgrounds, retaining walls, pool decks, outdoor living spaces, paper patios, forestry mulching, and more. 662-607-7773. Go to MasterCuts.com. You get a free quote either way.
We're also brought to you by Splinter Creek. It's a gated conservation community. It's located 8 miles southwest of Oxford, 75 minutes from the Memphis airport. SplinterCreekMS.com is the website. 601-898-2772 to schedule a tour with Tom Smith Land and Home Agents today. 34 lakefront lots ranging in size from 2 to 25 acres, 650 acres of lakes, pine and hardwood forests, 6 miles of private roads. It's beautiful land. It's absolutely gorgeous place. If you're thinking about moving to Oxford, retiring in Oxford, it's something you should look into. The creeks are stocked with coppernose, bluegill, brim, largemouth bass. It's professionally managed. The lakes are built for swimming, quiet boating, and fishing. It's just really a cool place. You should check it out. SplinterCreekMS.com. Blue Delta Jeans is rolling out a very special limited run edition of jeans made with fabric from the Cone Denim White Oak Mill in Greensboro, North Carolina. In 2017, after more than 110 years of continuous production, Cone Denim closed the doors of the White Oak Mill. At its peak, White Oak was the world's largest denim plant, employing more than 2,500 workers. And to celebrate and preserve this iconic American-made textile brand, Blue Delta is announcing a limited run of 30 jeans made with fabric secured at the closing of the mill. This offer is available to Blue Delta customers with patterns on file. To learn more, send them a direct message on Instagram and Twitter at Blue Delta Jeans, or send them an email, info@bluedeltajeans.com. If you're not already a customer of Blue Delta and you want to participate in special offers like this in the future, schedule your fitting today or stop into the Oxford store right next to the Lyric on your next trip into town. Dead Soxy, just like you, is disappointed in the Rebel season, but that doesn't mean you have to lose in your battle against sock slippage. It's Friday. Unlike their beloved Rebels, they don't lose with their patented technology to prevent both crew and no-show socks from slipping. To their custom sock design program, Dead Soxy is always winning. Kickstart some positive vibes into your wardrobe. Head over to deadsoxy.com, deadsoxy.com, and enter the promo code REBELGROVE at checkout for 30% off your entire order. And as always, stay soxy.
Podcast is brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Sedo County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market, a leader in condo financing, the float-down option, and the rates as low as they've been in about 2 years. Good time to talk to Jason, 662-234-2704. Or JLOWE at communitymtg.com. I'm proud of you. Well, this week we haven't put Stay Sexy or Dead Sexy on the website.
It's been a while.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that Rivals, the first time you save it, it keeps the link no matter what.
Yeah.
So the link, like half the time, is dead sexy dead on sexy. The link. Yeah, and there's nothing we can do about it.
It's and always, just, I man. See it, I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, I know. It's every time I wear them, the other ones maybe sometimes, those shark socks, people keep commenting on them.
Yeah.
The powder blue shark socks are the ones that every time I have them on, somebody talks about my socks.
They're cool.
And you don't typically get that with socks, but that is one. What are you laughing at?
Everybody wants to know who wrote the ad. I did not write that ad.
You didn't write that ad?
No, I did not. No.
Not so much.
No, I've been accused of a lot lately. I did not write that ad.
Got to ask on the chat as well. So what are you throwing on a taco, if that's what you're putting on pizza?
Meat, cheese, lettuce, jalapeno.
Just throw jalapeno on anything. Really just dice it up and put it in any meal you're eating. I mean, I don't put tomato on there because I like living.
Yeah. I do like some salsa or taco sauce. I do like the taco sauce that comes in like the Taco Bell kit or whatever.
I'm a taco sauce person. I don't have to have it, but I don't mind it. I'm good with it. Medium taco sauce.
I like it. I can go medium all the way up to hot. Set your mouth on fire.
Really, really?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, there's a certain level of it where I don't think it's enjoyable anymore. I feel like we're doing it just for that flavor at that point.
Yeah. There are these chips that I like. The Paqui, P-A-Q-U-I.
I don't know.
They don't have a sugar in them, but they have a ghost pepper flavor. It's just too much. Brutal.
Ghost pepper.
Too much. They have a flavor that's like a salsa verde.
Okay.
It's fantastic. And their nacho cheese flavor is fantastic, but the ghost pepper, it's too much. Brutal. Kills you.
Reading from the chat, I still have not tried that. I'm worried about the caloric intake, even though it's just one meal.
The Butterfinger Blast.
Yeah, like I get it. I probably should. I'm sure it's fantastic. I'm not a big caramel person, though. Caramel doesn't do much for me.
Oh.
So that's not. I'm fine with the Butterfinger Blast, although it gets in my teeth and kind of bugs me. I'll be honest. I don't mind Blast. I like Blast, but I avoid Butterfinger because I feel like it's constantly in my teeth. It drives me insane. And I'm good with the hot fudge, but the caramel, caramel does nothing for me.
When was the last time you had a candy bar?
The little fun size little things count. About 2 days ago, because I picked one up off the table because it's Halloween and there's just laying around places.
When was the last time you got a candy bar? Not a little fun size.
Oh, God.
Been years?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, Larry, why they call it a ghost pepper. It has something to do with Scoville units or whatnot, but brutal. I mean, I couldn't get it out of my mouth. My mouth was on fire for hours. Ate the whole bag.
Over a potato chip.
Well, it was tortilla chip. Yeah. Brutal.
I haven't looked to see how the Jim Hood podcast did compared to others. I'm sure there was a lot of interest, a lot of activity, a lot of feedback. So, yeah, I'm sure it was good. I haven't looked, though.
I know there's a question coming up later. You think Tate Reeves will come on? The lack of response makes me think probably not.
Yeah, we'll find that question real quick, and I'll come back. I can always scroll back up. Let me see. Let's see. I'll scroll down, find it. I saw that, too, because it had something about Boyce in it as well.
Yeah.
I'm looking. Hold on.
Well, I'm in too good of a mood to do all the boy stuff today. I'm just letting go.
You're in a good mood?
For whatever. I think because it's Friday and there's no kind of looking forward to a chill day.
What are the current odds of these people making an appearance on the Potato Log podcast in the near future? Okay, define near future.
2 months.
2 months. Tate Reeves, what do you got? What are the odds?
10%.
I was contemplating somewhere between 5-1 and 10-1. So yeah, we're on the same wavelength. It's possible. The invitation's out. Sure, it could happen Monday. I mean, as far as I know, but time's getting by a little bit. Now, he was busy.
He was.
Had a party last night.
Had a big party. Big party.
I don't know. Glenn Boyce.
A 1,000,000-1.
See, I don't think it's better than Reeves.
Oh no.
You don't think so?
Not a chance. I think there's I think there's a better chance Tate Reeves would come here and sit down with us for an hour than there is that Glenn Boyce would appear on our podcast. Because we would not agree to the, hey, we're only talking about sports terms. I would say, no, we're not. No terms.
So you think even over a 2 month period, it's less of a chance than Reeves?
I think we have a better chance of getting the President of the United States of America on the show than we do Glenn Boyce. We actually have a tie to the White House. I think there's a better chance of Donald Trump coming on our show than there is Glenn Boyce.
Do you really?
I absolutely do. Continue to name people.
Well, that was the next part of the question. Is any 2020 presidential candidate? So you think there's a better chance of that happening than Glenn Boyce?
Absolutely. No question about it. Yes. Yeah, the much better chance of getting Mike Pence on the show than there is Glenn Boyce.
I want to
not
argue.
Even close.
I want to argue with you. I want to.
Well, because we literally could call Hogan and
try
and get on the request list.
Yeah. So then it's just a matter of somebody being in a good mood that morning.
I wouldn't even know who to call at Ole Miss.
Well, I mean, I could do that, but
Yeah, but they would be like, oh, I don't think so. Because I'd have real questions after some of the things that I've heard in the last couple of days. And I wouldn't do the cop-out cowardly, oh, we're only going to talk about football here. No, 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 we're not. Nope, nope, we're gonna have a real conversation. And I don't think that conversation would go well. I think everyone knows it. And no.
I mean, there's been no one reach out to us for sure to this point.
You think Bernie Sanders would do our podcast?
I don't have a tie to Burns.
No.
I don't.
I'm trying to think who else would. Yeah, no. I mean,
I'd have to see the list when it came. I mean, if you told me you guys, gun to head, had to get a 2020 presidential candidate on the podcast, we could do it.
Yeah.
Somebody would do it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
There's like 50 of them.
Yeah, all I got to do is pick one.
Probably could get Tulsi Gabbard on the show now.
Yeah, there's a lot of Democrats still going. We could get somebody on the list. And we could get people at least close around Trump on the show for sure. What?
Beto O'Rourke might do it. He's not really a candidate anymore.
I mean, I told the message board yesterday Nancy Pelosi was next up since they said we were being liberal at this point. So.
Did you see where Joe Biden's running fourth in Iowa right now?
Is he?
Yeah.
Hey, Father Time has not been good over the last 4 to 8 years. Just doesn't feel.
Yeah. Between he and Trump, their answers to questions, it's like a Saturday Night Live skit. I can't even imagine Saturday Night Live trying to come up with a way to make it funnier than it already is. Someone asked about LASIK. I went all the way down the LASIK road a few years ago. Well, a long time ago. And then at the last minute, didn't do it because Laura was concerned about the money. And I've probably spent twice the amount that the LASIK would have cost on contact lenses.
I can't have it. I've got too much scar tissue from my eye surgeries when
really?
I was young. Now, that was when LASIK first kind of became a thing. I could try it again, probably make it do it. But yeah, at the time when I looked into it, my left eye, which is my really bad one, I've had one eye surgery in my right eye, three eye surgeries in my left eye. And they said that, yeah, there's way too much scar tissue. Because the last time I had surgery, there was hemorrhaging and stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was not pleasant. It was kind of horror scene. If you ever, like if I coughed or got sick or anything,
oof.
Literally like doing this, like
oh,
stuff shooting from.
That's not good.
Yeah, it was. If you're watching the live stream, Neil physically moved away from me a little bit as I was demonstrating that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think I'm a candidate. I wear one contact sometimes, and that's kind of where I am. My depth perception's so screwed up, but I'm used to it.
Your brain has adjusted.
To me, it's yeah. So when you try to fix it, I get screwed up because I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not what I've known for 35 years. Just let me do it my way. I know it's not right, but. You know, they don't work together. If something's coming at me, my right eye follows it, and then it gets really close to me, my left eye picks it up. Well, my brain's got to have that figured out. You start trying to make my eyes work together, and...
Yeah, your brain's not used to that.
No, I mean, yeah. I don't... Yeah, it's
like learning it's another language.
Stuff. There's some truth to that. Yeah, it's not a pleasant thing.
Who do you think wins the Democratic nomination?
Man.
Is it Elizabeth Warren?
I'm still sticking with Biden until he's not.
Okay.
But it's kind of back to that. I don't think Elizabeth Warren can beat Trump. I don't.
I don't either.
So at some point, the Democrats have to figure out.
The only one that I think could beat Trump is Biden.
That's my point. At some point, the Democrats have to figure out, do we want to do this or do we want to have a shot at winning?
Well,
it's back to me giving too much credit again. Are you looking at the pragmatic big picture or not?
But it's the conversation that we had yesterday with Governor Musgrove.
Yeah.
A candidate like him...
Everyone is sprinting to the edges.
Yeah, a candidate like him couldn't win election now. You've to win the nomination in either party, you've got to be far right or far left. You can't be a centrist, center right, center left. The truth is, Bill Clinton wouldn't win an election today. I don't mean Bill Clinton as the president, but the governor of Arkansas, Bill Clinton, couldn't win an election today. Senator Barack Obama could not win an election today. Governor George W. Bush.
You don't think those guys are, especially Obama and Clinton, are such quality politicians they would find a way to win? They would alter their, because there's a difference in a candidate and a leader. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
A governor and a candidate are not the same thing.
I guess what I mean is it's hard for me to imagine, maybe a little easier with Obama, that he would sprint to the left. But it's harder for me to imagine, look at Jeb Bush, for example. When the campaign called for him to get radical, he didn't. I don't know that they're wired that way. I don't know that Bill Clinton's wired to be a leftist. He's center left. I don't know that those candidates have a chance anymore. But to your point, if you run the Pete Buttigieg, is that his name? The mayor of South Bend, who's moving up in the polls, he can't win a national election. I don't think.
I'm not convinced anyone can beat him other than maybe Biden, and that's slipping by the day. If Trump's base is at all motivated. Now, that's the question.
And that's the question, because it's not as
motivated. Can he get the same type of base and turnout as 16? And I don't know the answer. We have plenty of time to talk about it.
Colonel Reb 2000 says, not a fan of the politics on the podcast. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I just don't. I mean, this podcast has always sort of been
whatever.
A whatever podcast. And we talk Ole Miss sports a lot. And if it were in a couple of weeks, who knows what we'll be talking about? There's going to be the AD search, and there will be sports topics to talk about, signing class and stuff. I'll tell you this, the Josiah Hayes thing that everybody got all worked up about, it might be something at the end of the day to be worked up about, but he wants to take other visits, and the Horn Lake policy is you can't be committed and take visits to other schools. So he had to publicly decommit.
I don't know my answer here, because I would probably need some run through it from a subject matter standpoint as far as what would qualify. Reb's rocking with this question. Most famous person you've ever talked to, casual conversation or interview, one-on-one, at least 5 minutes.
Ooh.
And I don't have an answer. I got to think about this one for a little while. I didn't see it last night, and nothing is really clicking off the top of my head because I'm around them so much. I'm trying to avoid athletes. Because that doesn't
the most famous athlete I've ever had a conversation with for any length of time would either be Greg Maddux or Charles Barkley.
Okay.
The most famous person I've ever had a conversation with, and it wasn't one-on-one, it was two-on-one, because it was me and Jeffrey, would probably be Jeb Bush. I've met Bill Clinton, but it wasn't one-on-one, and we didn't have a five-minute conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I got to think. I'm not sure. And I'm also trying to think about forgetting something that's just not computing through my head right now.
Yeah.
Some of my brain works now. We talk so much and everything else. I'm not forgetful on stats and weird things, but I'm forgetful on who you've spoken to.
Yeah.
What the situation was. I don't know.
One of the coolest conversations I ever had, I was in Arizona for spring. I was doing Padres spring training stuff, and I was doing a story. It was the year after Bartman and all that. So it was spring of 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat with Ron Santo watching a Cubs practice and talked to Ron Santo like it was just a couple of guys. And
that was pretty
cool.
Good.
That was pretty cool.
That's pretty good.
It was really cool. One of the cooler deals.
David Ross, thoughts?
I think the people who do the quick thing of, oh, they're just hiring a buddy, I don't think those people know David Ross very well. We'll see. The lack of experience on a bench will be interesting. He's never coached before, much less managed. But he was been a backup catcher. He was kind of a coach on the field for a while. I think he can probably overcome that. He's an analytics guy. So he'll be able to incorporate the analytics that he'll get from the front office more than Madden did. Madden, even yesterday at his press conference in Anaheim, was pushing back on analytics.
Was it really?
Yeah. And David Ross does not push back on analytics. He embraces them.
A hard pushback would really bother me. You don't have to go full stat nerd, but a pushback would be a problem for me.
Well, the two teams that are in the World Series today are full stat nerd teams.
Well, you know what I mean, though? Being close-minded to anything is my problem.
Yes, yes, yes. You got to be open to shifts and I think he'll be fine. I don't think David Ross is going to win the World Series, and I don't think he's going to cost him the World Series. I do think he will add a little more fire to the Cubs. I thought the Cubs had gotten awfully laid back the last few years. I'm not blaming all of that on Joe Maddon. Some of that is you win a World Series. You win.
You did it.
Sometimes you're not as hungry anymore.
A little fat
anymore.
And happy.
Yeah, you know, so we'll see.
If you signed up, you've got the Great 38 Race Weekend in Oxford. That's the 25th through the 27th. The Expo's today. It's going to be pretty rainy for that one. The 3 and the 8 mile tomorrow morning, and then the half marathon, the 13.1 on Sunday. You got an art show on Saturday at Ole Miss Motel. You got a Comfort Food Quilts of Service at Southside Gallery tomorrow, music on the back porch, Treehouse Gallery, and much more. Click the link, stay there, bookmark it, keep it close by to see everything going on in Oxford. That's visit oxfordms.com/events.
We had picks up yesterday. They're brought to you by Southern Craft Stove and Tap, located off Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue. Southern Craft Stove and Tap places an emphasis on food and atmosphere, mixing the quality of fine dining with the come-as-you-are environment, featuring 30 craft beers and offering a high-quality selection of cuisine and libations. Southern Craft Stove and Tap has you covered for any occasion. Join them for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, or have your favorites catered out. Catering orders placed online currently receive $25 off any order totaling $100 or more. So avoid the chaos of parking on the square. Head over and experience carefully crafted dishes with your favorite Southern ingredients. Southern Craft Stove and Tap, Highway 7 at Sisk Avenue in Oxford. The 2019-20 Ole Miss Hoops season just around the corner. Don't miss any of the action of Coach Yo's women's basketball team and Coach Kermit Davis's men's team this season in the pavilion. For tickets, visit OleMissTix.com. The Ole Miss volleyball team returns to the Gillum Center on Sunday as they take on the Kentucky Wildcats at 1:30. Admission is free. More information can be found at OleMissSports.com. The 2019 Men's Hoops Rebel Flex Pass is on sale now. For just $199, receive a ticket to every home game this season with varying seat locations from game to game. This will allow you to experience the pavilion at Ole Miss from all angles. So visit OleMissTix.com, get your Rebel Flex Pass for just $199. And then don't forget to join the Ole Miss soccer team on Sunday at 5 p.m. as they host LSU. Admission is free, so take the family to enjoy Rebel soccer. Podcast is also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi, has clients in more than 20 states, has advisors in multiple states as well. Founded in 1997, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. They treat investing like a commodity, and decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan that's built just for you. The cookie-cutter financial planners don't do that. They put you in a box. Pinnacle Trust throws the box away and builds one just for you. To learn more, go to pintrust.com. That's PINNtrust.com. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fee.
What's the worst food that both of you have ever tried?
Mayonnaise.
Are you really sticking with that?
Pretty bad.
Tell you what gets me a little bit, and because I feel like I'm fairly adventurous from an eating standpoint. I'll try anything if I trust the chef or the restaurant or whatever, okay, for the most part.
Okay.
I like fried chicken lovers. Like, that stuff doesn't bother
me. Yeah,
it's just
fine.
Sweetbreads, though. Ooh, just knowing what they are.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Like, I don't know why other things, they do not bother me. I'll eat pretty much anything and at least try it. Something about the sweetbread, I have a hard time with.
Kind of think about it and you're like,
yeah, it's thymus or pancreas or stomach for anybody that's.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm kidding about the mayonnaise. I just don't like it. I don't know that there's one particular thing. I'm like you. I'm more adventurous than you would think I am with food and stuff.
I'm willing to give pretty much anything a shot if I have some trust.
Yeah.
Now I got to have some trust. I won't try anything from anyone.
Right.
Those are two different things.
Right.
But
if it's a phenomenal chef, like Burton cooked for us that day.
Yeah.
If Burton said, try this, I'd say, okay.
Okay.
I might be skeptical. I might be a little reluctant.
More, he could make more of that bread and butter anytime he'd like to.
No doubt.
So good.
And that lima bean dish.
You were up big on that one.
Man, phenomenal.
You can see his work in Neil's 10 Weekend Thoughts every single Monday. He essentially baked some bread with flour that he had brought back from Paris, and he had an anchovy butter and a Tabasco basil honey butter, I believe it were.
That Tabasco.
The two of those were incredible.
I could have put that on anything and just been fine. Like on a shoe.
It was really, really good.
Man.
It was phenomenal, I will say. We can probably get you guys some recipes and things. We can probably work on that. If you're interested. After his antics this year, I know where Neil's going to go with this. Freeze Power 5 gig in 3 to 5 years.
Power 5?
Yeah.
Maybe. SEC? I don't think so. I mean, look, I have my fingers crossed on something. I'm hoping against hope.
Whoa, do you?
Yes.
What?
My dream come true. Like, I would be giddy. Is Joe Moorhead leaves Mississippi State and they hire Hugh Freeze. I just...
Oh, stop.
Dear sweet baby Jesus. I promise to be the best boy ever. Amen.
Yeah, there's no chance in hell. Stop. I mean, come on.
Wait. Dear Lord, if you'll let Hugh Freeze be the head coach at Mississippi State, I will be the best boy ever.
I mean this Amen. From a seriousness, because we would get it back. You would pay a lot of money for that.
Yes. Oh.
I mean, seriously.
Oh, Chase.
You'd take out a loan.
Yeah.
To pay for that one.
Yes.
We wouldn't have to ever do show prep. We just sit down in the chair that morning, hit the button. Here we go.
Yeah.
Calls, lines open. Yeah.
We would never be allowed to have Jeffrey on again. We would have to move. Jeffrey would just have to go away.
It would kill the entire time
slot. Yeah, but... Oh, can you imagine Egg Bowl Week with Hugh Freeze and Starb? Oh, gosh.
Selena Reb says, have you ever thought about a summer road show from some of y'all's top markets? Jackson, Memphis, Dallas, Nashville, Atlanta. We have considered it would take a lot.
Described with
that's pretty good. Yeah. It would require more planning than we have put into it, and frankly, it would require a sponsor to, because in all seriousness, not even from a money standpoint, that would get kind of expensive. We'd have to really find a way to make that work.
Yeah, it would get super expensive. We'd have to have some help.
You know, we contemplated last summer, and we probably should have done this. Maybe it's something we do next year. Just the little quick, like, Coast, Jackson, Memphis, Oxford kind of 4-day thing. I think that's doable. But, yeah, anything beyond that. I would like to get to Nashville and do some stuff, because that's been a really good market for us over the years.
Yeah.
We had a great turnout for the Butler Watch Party last fall. I'd like to implement Nashville as much as we can.
I think we'd get turnout in Dallas or Houston.
Really?
It's getting there and all
that's
that stuff.
That's the
problem.
Yeah. It would have to be built around a reason to be there anyway.
Right.
That's the thing. I talked to a couple people, but it's right at the 1st of January, maybe doing something the night before Ole Miss Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
In Nashville this year for basketball.
Yeah.
That's a thought. So I don't know. Let's see. It's not a Saturday night, so Neil's not telling little Johnny jokes.
No. Mitch, I've only been to Michigan, the state of Michigan, one time. It's fine.
What's
I don't
wrong?
Have a, he's wondering if I'm just tired of Michigan football. I'm tired of Shea Patterson, that storyline. It's exhausted. He's exactly what I thought he was.
Harbaugh or Shea?
Shea. And Harbaugh's
only got... I was reading... I know. I was reading a Dan Wilkin column this morning.
Okay.
And it was the worst 7 college football coaching contracts. I was just curious who he had on the list. And Harbaugh's only got a couple years left on his deal. What are they? They do.
The rumor is
at the end of the year, they doing something there.
Well, the rumor is that he's leaving for the NFL. That he can get and will take an NFL gig.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
And the NFL doesn't give two craps how he's coached at Michigan.
The Astros fired their assistant general manager after what happened the other night, and they absolutely should have fired him. Should have fired him quicker than they did. The response initially was poor. They got exposed and had to do what they did. That's the truth.
Their final, yeah, all their stuff yesterday was pretty good.
Yeah.
But before that was just awful.
They owed.
Despicable, frankly.
What's her? I can't remember her first name. Her last name is Stephanie Epstein. They owed her an apology immediately.
Well, because look, somebody pointed this out yesterday on Twitter. If that guy from the Chronicle doesn't come forward, if nothing else happens, her career is probably damaged where the team goes against her. She's right. She told the truth. It's probably a permanent stain on her.
Well, and when, you know, someone said, well, she wrote throughout the year negative things about the Astros employing Osuna. Okay. There are people who are going to write negative things about people who have beaten up women. Is what it is. And if you choose to employ those people on your baseball team, you do so knowing that.
Well, you hit it on the head. You can't sit there and go, hey, we know there's going to be backlash. We understand that. And then when the backlash comes, get pissed off.
No, you have to say,
they said the entire time, we get it. We're doing some things in the community. We're trying this. We're trying that. We'll do whatever. And then boom.
It would be like after all of this time, everyone wants to use the Cubs as an example. Let's use them. If Theo Epstein and those people got upset at media for saying, hey, you know what? I just don't like Addison Russell being on this team. There are people that are Cub fans who do not like Addison Russell being on the team. If you ever get on Cubs Twitter during a game, if Addison Russell does something good, nah.
Really?
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm glad it's working out for the team, but I sure wish it had been somebody else. It matters what type of person you are. And beating up a woman as a man is a really bad thing. There's no excuse for it. We're raised that way. I mean, the only defense that you have to strike a woman as a man is if your life or your children's lives are in danger.
There's a weapon involved.
Yes. You just don't do it.
CABrit27 says, tell me a game other than LSU-Auburn that I should watch this weekend. It is a bad slate of football. I went through all the top 25 games. And the only one that I think has a chance for some entertainment, just that might be kind of interesting, Washington State at Oregon on Saturday night.
Yeah.
It's late. You got an alcoholic beverage in your hand. Sure.
It's on the road for Washington State.
Yeah.
And Oregon, pretty good right now.
Yeah. I don't like Notre Dame-Michigan. I think it's going to be a boring game, even if it's a close game. Sorry. I got one. 2:30. Oklahoma State, Iowa State. Fun game.
Yeah, it's got a chance to be a good game.
Fun game. If you just want some fun, fun game. And then keep a channel clicker over. I think TCU can give Texas trouble in Fort Worth this weekend.
Yeah, I can see that. I
think that might be a...
Texas escaped last week. They've got something bad coming to them.
At 11, if you want to be bored by close football, Iowa and Northwestern play each other.
Yeah.
I mean,
Is it going to be raining tomorrow?
At 11 a.m., if you want to turn something on, turn it on to see if Wisconsin can at all hold with Ohio State. That's your 11 o'clock game. SMU survives last night, beats Houston in Houston.
Houston gave them a game, though, right?
The Ponies now 8-0 after a 34-31 win over the Cougars last night. Yeah, so SMU still unbeaten.
Rockets lost their opener.
Did they? Laramie Tunzel in attendance last night for the Rockets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, saw him on the floor.
90% chance of rain tomorrow.
Laramie got paid and moved from the Dolphins to the Texans. Things going all right for my boy, 78 these days.
Yeah.
It's moving on up.
40% chance of rain on Halloween, low of 39.
Somebody says bump to the above show on the road thing, but add New Orleans. We would go for our own enjoyment maybe. We don't have much of a market in New Orleans. That's never one of the places that pop for us.
Yeah.
The coast just...
It's just not our... They don't like us.
The coast is pretty light for us. We do better in the triangle than we do on the coast, so...
Yeah, we do.
We could go to the triangle.
We could.
Think we so? go to Harvey's in Starkville, do a show.
That'd be funny.
Do a show somewhere like that.
That'd be fun.
Think so?
I don't know much about Starkville, honestly. I know how to get to like some of the soccer fields where the kids play. I know how to get to the campus. I don't know that I've ever like been out in Starkville or anything.
Went some in college. It's all right. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all right. It's better. They've done a pretty good job for what they have to work with.
Yeah. I don't know much about it, honestly.
I think part of the reason, and now look, it's not like I'm not calling it Oxford or Athens or something like that, but I think some of the reason it gets the rap it does is because when you come in, all you see is like the interstate, and then you're immediately seeing the stadium. Like, you never actually right. see much of anything else. You've got to really go out of your way to kind of get into some of the areas of Starkville, and I think that's just is what it is. But
you think I'd get shot, Grizzly, in Starkville? I don't. Come on.
Well, you know, that's what Gene Swindle always says. He couldn't come to Oxford because yeah. he'd get, you know, his life was threatened. You don't buy that?
No.
You don't think so? I think he said it like a.
What do you think Steve's reaction would be if he saw me accompanying Caroline on a college visit? Think he'd lose it?
No. I think he'd be a welcome committee.
Yeah, maybe so.
He can show her around.
Yeah. That'd do that.
Be kind of funny, honestly, the more I think about it. I'm sorry. All right. Let's see. I know it's not your genre. Top five scary movies. What do you got?
Beats me.
You got nothing, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay, here's the deal.
I don't watch them.
I find slasher movies funny because, like, Friday the 13th, you kill a guy 28 times, like, whatever. Like, whatever. That didn't do anything much for me. The only ones that ever kind of stick in my head a little bit are more psychological thrillers, things where it could happen. You know what I mean? Where it's, hey, well, so it's not really even horror movies. It's just kind of that stuff where, like, hey, there's a lot of creepy, crazy people out there. You never know what. You know, because like it didn't bother me, but like a lot of people were terrified by that the strangers, where people were in the house, people come to their house and just try to kill them. No real reason, just
right.
get in there. That's why Halloween was so successful in 1980 or whatever, was it was the first horror movie, at least major motion picture, like I'm sure most of the other ones, so don't whatever, but where there wasn't like a moral compass to it, where hey, the teenagers are having sex or you're drinking and see, you're gonna get killed by the slasher guy. Mental patient just comes and starts killing folks on Halloween. There was no moral compass to it,
right.
if you will, and that I think it's part of the reason that it became what it was. I don't know. I like the old Psycho. I like a lot of the older horror movies. I like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
You know what's weird is I'll read some of Dean Koontz's stuff, but I don't like watching it.
But you can read it, okay?
I can read it because I think if it gets to a place where I need to stop for a minute, I sort of can. I'm pretty soft when it comes to stuff like that. I'll rewatch The Office. I'll find funny things. I'll watch Parks and Rec. I'd rather laugh than be
comment
dark.
On the YouTube chat. Don't get in the perfectly good running car. Always move upstairs so there's no way out. Ever horror movie ever. Yes, yeah, that is correct.
That's like the Geico ad where the kids, the chainsaw guy,
and they
run to the stuff instead of getting out, and he just looks at him and like rolls his eyes.
It's all like Scream and stuff. So funny. All the horror movies where they make fun of themselves. It's good stuff. That's very true. So yeah, something like that. Let's see. What do the Grizz look like today if they drafted Trey Young instead of JJ?
Just more guard oriented. I'm not ready to. Yeah, I mean Trey Young looked awfully good last night. We'll see. Young team, see what happens.
The dude tied up in the LSU thing got almost 3 years in prison. The Children's Hospital.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just glad that no one's digging into that at all. No media at all.
Oh, that's a good one. The original Saw is a really good horror movie. I forgot about the original Saw with the twist. It was good. Yeah, yeah. That's up there. Somebody just said Pet Sematary, Saw, Misery, Candyman, and Blair Witch. Blair Witch didn't do much for me, but
seems like I saw Misery.
I'll throw in some Kathy Bates. I'll throw in some Stephen King, and then Saw the first one before it got crazy. Pretty good.
Yeah.
You never watched Saw,
no.
the original?
No.
You should.
I'm a nightmare person. I don't like giving myself fodder for nightmares. I have some really weird dreams.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you dream that a ghost sits on top of you when you're sleeping.
That wasn't a dream. What? I was awake. She talked to me.
You were still dreaming.
I was not dreaming. I was awake.
She hasn't come back?
Nope. Kind of typical for a woman.
One time thing?
Yeah, just, you know, I didn't do it for her. I tried. You know? You got to give me a second chance.
What are you going to do with the off day tomorrow?
Try to sleep in, which means I'll probably be up by 7.
I would be so excited by 7. Be so excited by 7.
Oh, I slept till 9 one day recently, and it was great.
It's been 20 years.
I'll try to sleep in. I'll do a Peloton ride. Hang out. Hopefully do nothing. Cook something. Chill. Watch a little football. I'll watch LSU Auburn until it's boring.
That's night.
It's 2:30.
Oh, it is 2:30.
Yeah. I'll watch the World Series game a little bit. I'll watch some NBA. I don't know. Nothing.
Just, we got game 3 tonight. Game 4 tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just take it easy. I don't know. I'm looking forward to kind of doing nothing. The problem we have is that Laura does not like nothing. She gets bored. She says that, oh, this is going to be a fun, relaxing day. And then about noon, she's, hey, I'm going to go to Home Depot. And I'm like, okay. And I know it's like, do you want to come with me? And it's,
so
I don't.
All of a sudden, you're digging up some hydrangeas that afternoon.
Yeah, and it's, do you want to go to Home Depot? No, I don't.
I'm good, really.
Go, have at it. Do you want to go shop? I really don't. I want to lay here on this couch and maybe fall asleep and maybe watch a game and decide at what point do I go, I'm going to go get a beer.
That's your day?
We might end up getting out and going someplace and having a beer.
Okay.
It'd be like the extent of it. But I don't want to go to like shops and stuff.
Okay.
And I don't want to go to like a big Walmart or Home Depot. That's like torture for me. What about you? You got big plans?
Yeah, I'll tell you in just a second. Before we do that, I'll tell you about Tyson Drugs and GNM. You should make plans to get a flu shot if you haven't done that yet, because it is definitely flu season. It's wet outside. Good day for it. Head on over and they'll get you in and out as quickly and painlessly as possible. Don't have to worry about the chain drugstores. Just go to GNM, South Lamar in Oxford, 662-236-2222. And you get a $0 copay on most insurance plans.
Yeah. Judging by the YouTube chat, most people believe me and are surprised that you don't, that a ghost would molest
me. Well, look, I've told a story about the ghost undoing the Christmas balls. I'm not completely anti-ghost or saying there are no ghosts.
So you're saying you don't think it's possible that there's a female ghost that said, you know what? I'm going to give that a shot.
Well, I mean, you might literally be her only option if she's confined to the house. I mean, I'm just saying.
It's,
I mean, it might literally be like last person on earth kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I could mean, be.
That does bring in a little more element on your behalf, I guess.
If I were the last man on earth, I'd have a shot with a couple.
Yeah, I mean, just saying.
Yeah, I could. You never know.
There are certain confines that may be in play for a ghost.
You never know. It's, maybe the key for me is just outlasting everybody.
Casperitos, you know? All over. Yeah. All good.
The podcast also brought to you by the Westin Jackson. It's home to Soul Spa, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. It's also home to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, where you can sip on a creative craft cocktail, enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's offerings are fantastic. You should give them a shot at Estelle in the Westin Jackson tonight. Podcast also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. So I'm kind of working with John right now on a summer vacation. Mm-hmm. And he called me yesterday just to ask a few questions. Hey, do people in your family like this? Do they like? And this is a decision that I'm not making. I'm just going to be the
you're just paying for it.
Paying for it, and I'll be the conduit that relays information. I've surrendered my vote. So he's very thorough, asked a lot of questions. I gave him some details, and what he does is he'll do that for you too. All you do is you give him some parameters, you give him a budget, and you let him start going to work. And what he does is he puts together a bunch of options for you. There's no commitment until you sign up. And you don't have to live anywhere near Memphis to take advantage of the services. You just need a phone and an internet connection. 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip. just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent, been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. He's also a big part of Savannah Square. It's a new 9-acre development, 0.7 miles from the Oxford downtown square. There's a model home at 215 William Street and a lot of homes in different stages of development. So if you're coming up here soon for a basketball game, for a football game, just coming up for a weekend to ghost hunt or whatever the case may be, get in touch with Harry. He'll show you the model home. He'll show you the development. It's SavannahSquareOxford.com or 662-801-5621. And we're brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000 and refund ATM fees nationwide. They also have a commercial checking account now paying 1% interest. As long as you keep $10,000 in the account, it comes with fully interactive online banking. So to learn more, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Silence of the Lambs is way up there, too, if that counts. Does that count as a horror movie?
Yeah.
You count that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
that was pretty there, freaky.
Man. Yeah. I'm having a friend for dinner.
And the one with Kathy Bates, what was that?
Misery?
Misery. Yeah, I did see that. It was scary.
Yeah.
Because you could see that really happening.
Silence of the Lambs might be top three now that I'm saying that. I wasn't big on any of the offshoots, Hannibal, or I think Red Dragon was the other one that was doing a TV show about that. But yeah,
go Reds! It was not Marge Schott. She was a lot.
God,
she was a lot thinner than Marge Schott, but she was old.
Oh, she was thin.
Yeah.
Well, there was no
and old.
There's very little matter.
Very old.
Almost translucent, huh?
She was there.
Is it translucent? Was it?
No, she was. No, she was.
How do you know it was a ghost?
Maybe it was a person. And she just
why are we just assuming it was a ghost and not someone that had just broken in?
Hold on, make sure this isn't something bad. Laura says, I'll never make you go to Home Depot or Walmart. She said she never makes me.
Never.
She said she's never made me. It's true.
Never?
She's never made me.
Highly suggested. Really in the same vein of how in college football during the summer they have those voluntary workouts.
Yeah,
that they think everybody should have.
Yeah.
I know my camera's sticking a little. I can't help it. My computer is telling me it's too full this morning.
The ghost, whatever it was, got on top of me and told me to relax. She's just having fun. Wasn't a dream.
It was a dream. Oh, some kind of dream.
Wasn't that? Come on. If I were going to have that kind of dream, that would not be the subject.
Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, back to, I got a birthday party to take Carly Ann to tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And then there's a couple.
You're at birthday party age.
I am. I don't do a lot of them, but I'm fine tomorrow. Sunday, there's a couple of those sort of Halloween, carnival, fall fest kind of deals. Probably doing two of those.
They might get rained out. You might get lucky.
Well, one of them's inside the activity center at the church.
That one won't be.
The other one, maybe. Yeah, that's a good point. So, I don't know. Something along those. I do want to watch LSU and Auburn. For some reason, I thought that was a night game. So, that being 2:30, that does alter things a little bit because I am curious at that.
Well, I'm a little bit. I don't think Auburn can beat LSU. I mean, LSU's really good. I want to see Bo Nix, what he looks like against that defense. Got a little working theory on LSU. I've had it for a while. We'll see if it gets blown up.
You're all in.
If you made me predict today, I think we're seeing LSU and Ohio State play for the title. Should be fascinating for Joe Burrow because that was where he started his career at Ohio State.
Give plenty to write about for 20 days.
Well, certainly be a storyline worth digging into.
So you asked me yesterday, is it going back to Houston or is it ending in D.C. this weekend?
It ends in D.C. in five.
Do you? Five?
Yeah. Houston gets one.
Really? Well, because they've already thrown Cole and Verlander.
Houston's problem is this. If it loses tonight, not only is it down 3-0, but it also has to bring Gerrit Cole back on short rest. And so now the rest of the series, even if you're...
Everything's thrown off at that
point. Yeah, you're just in this frenzied deal. And if you're Davey Martinez,
I got to win
Nationals,
four. I don't bring him back on short. I got to win four.
I know. I'm with you, but that's because,
not how they would think. It's how the Red Sox did it in 04. It was, hey, don't let us win game four. Because if you let us win game four, then you got Pedro and you got Schilling. And then, hey, it's a game seven. Anything happens. You're there to win the series. You're not there to not get swept. I hold. I'm throwing Cole and Verlander 5 and 6.
Yeah. And Greinke in 7.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Greinke against... It's a big game for Zach Greinke tonight. He has been kind of erratic in the playoffs. Anibal Sanchez has not been erratic in the playoffs. I mean, I don't mean this is a slap at the Cardinals. He absolutely shut the Cardinals down in that playoff series. They're on fire right now. They're also the hottest team in baseball since Memorial Day. It's been a while. They're playing good. It's so funny. I was listening to the radio yesterday where someone says, I'm surprised at the Nationals' offense. I'm like, guys, they're in the World Series. You don't get this far as an average team.
They started the season and sucked.
Well, they only won 19 of their first 50 games.
And they couldn't catch the Braves. So they were kind of in that weird, from a marketing PR standpoint, they were always going to be the wild card team. Yeah. Like, it was sort of the little engine that could a little bit, but you look at them and went, whoa.
See the TV ratings on this?
No.
Game two was, let me pull it up so I give you something exact. Game two was lowest rated World Series game in, here it is, all time low TV audience. I'm pulling it up.
With top 10 markets.
Yeah.
I know Houston's like three.
Fox narrowly avoided setting the wrong kind of record for game one of the 2019 World Series between the Washington Nationals and Houston Astros. The network wasn't as lucky for game two. Wednesday night's game in which the Nationals soundly won 12-3 to take a 2-0 lead, drew 11.93 million viewers, the smallest audience ever for a game two. Was down 3% from the previous record set in 2012 when the San Francisco Giants swept away the Detroit Tigers. Fox avoided the same distinction for Game 1 on Tuesday by just 3,000 viewers. Here's the killer. You ready? And I'm a baseball guy. I love it. I watch a lot of baseball. In the adults 18 to 49 demo, Game 2 drew a 2.9 rating, down 6% from Tuesday's Game 1. In total viewers, Fox shed 2% of its Game 1 audience. Factoring in streaming platforms, Fox added another 480,000 viewers to bring that total to 12.41. In the Washington, D.C. market, of course, they had a big rating. The series takes a break Thursday, Friday. Let's see, what was this? That will also push Friday night SmackDown to cable network Fox Sports 1. The numbers are so bad.
The question remains, does it matter?
From a money standpoint, probably not. Here's the problem, though. If you're losing young people, it's like when you and I look at our demographics on the Potato Log podcast, What do we say? We always say, hey, how are we doing with the 20s?
Yeah, we 30s? Feel fine because our demographic's where we want it to be.
We don't really worry about how we do 65 plus. We don't.
We're very strong 20s, 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
And you always want to be strong 20s, 30s, 40s. In 10 years, you still want to be strong 20s, 30s, 40s.
So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what that means about baseball. It means something, though. And does it matter? I mean, I would think if you're in the Major League Baseball offices in New York, when you're sitting around the table and you look at these numbers, when someone goes, no, I'm not picking on you here, but when someone goes, well, does it matter? I think the answer has to be, yeah, it's got to matter. We got to figure this out because this isn't the
right
trend.
But there's so many reasons why it's wrong. It's a lot of their own fault. There's a lot of just the game being the game and attention spans.
Yeah.
There's a lot too of how they shut down everything on social media. They're so strict with rights. They don't allow fun. They don't allow fun. It's the yelling at cloud guy who goes, we've got to do it my way. And if you don't care, go ahead. That's what it is.
Well, you know, I'd be interested to see. I'm sure I could pull them up somewhere, but I'm not going to do it right now. I would be interested to see what the NBA ratings numbers were from opening night. I bet you that on, was it Tuesday night the NBA started? Yeah. Toronto and New Orleans, not two big media markets, and Zion did not play.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you the numbers from the Tuesday night NBA game were higher than the Wednesday World Series game.
On a network. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because there was a game, the World Series started on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah. I bet you that the Pelicans-Raptors NBA game without Zion Williamson
did more than
beat game one Nats of the World Series.
We'll look. I don't know. We'll look at that. We'll get to it on Monday. So anyway, a lot of content, rebelgrove.com. Go join the conversation there. It's cheap. Also, hit the subscribe button if you have not on YouTube. We'd appreciate that if you're still hanging with us. Hit the bell to get the notifications when we start every morning or when videos are posted also. So we'll have all that for you. There's a greatest pod in the South. There's a beer garden with Ryan Brown. And plenty more this week from the MPW Digital family of podcasts.
The Ryan Brown conversation, by the way, towards the end, we really get into Ole Miss. We get into Matt Luke. We get into Pete Golding, some of that stuff. If you're looking for some perspective from someone who's pretty connected around the league and such, check that last 10 minutes or so of that out.
And we'll talk to you again on Monday.